What transforms a careless teenager into someone capable of profound love? Nicholas Sparks' A Walk to Remember answers this question through a story so emotionally resonant that it stayed on the New York Times bestseller list for over 80 weeks. Inspired by Sparks' own sister who died young from cancer, this 1958 set tale follows Landon Carter, a privileged 17-year-old in Beaufort, North Carolina, whose world collides with Jamie Sullivan, the plain, Bible-carrying minister's daughter everyone ridicules. Their unlikely connection becomes a testament to how love can reshape everything we thought we knew about ourselves. Taylor Swift once said, "The book taught me that love can transform you in ways you never imagined," and millions of readers would agree. This isn't just another teenage romance. It's a meditation on faith, sacrifice, and the mysterious ways people enter our lives exactly when we need them most. Landon lives comfortably in his congressman father's shadow, enjoying the privileges of small-town popularity without much substance beneath. Worth Carter's campaign slogan, "Worth Carter Represents," plasters bumper stickers across eastern North Carolina, yet he represents everyone except his own son, spending 9 months yearly in Washington. Without meaningful paternal guidance, Landon drifts through adolescence with harmless rebellion, soaping windows, eating boiled peanuts in graveyards, worrying more about his social reputation than his character. His grandfather built the family fortune through bootlegging and exploitative sharecropping during the Depression, a legacy Landon accepts without questioning its moral weight. He's the classic case of someone sleepwalking through life, comfortable but empty, needing something or someone to wake him up. Jamie Sullivan represents everything Landon's world dismisses. With honey blonde hair in a tight bun, plain brown cardigans, and her ever-present Bible, she moves through Beaufort's hallways like a visitor from another era. Her father, Reverend Hegbert Sullivan, became a widower at 55 when Jamie's mother died in childbirth, a tragedy he channeled into an annual Christmas play. Jamie volunteers at orphanages, rescues wounded animals, and speaks constantly of the Lord's plan while classmates obsess over dating and popularity. Her peers mock her faith as weirdness rather than strength, but Jamie possesses something rare: the courage to live according to her deepest values, regardless of social cost. She's chosen substance over surface, conviction over conformity, a choice that makes her simultaneously the most ridiculed and most admirable person in school. When his drama teacher casts the Christmas play, Landon sits in class regretting his choice of an easy elective, completely unaware this decision will become the pivot point of his entire existence. When Angela dumps Landon before homecoming, he desperately asks Jamie Sullivan. The night becomes a disaster when Angela arrives drunk with her aggressive boyfriend Lou, who threatens violence until Jamie mentions helping Landon's grandmother, disarming him completely. Then Angela vomits everywhere. Jamie takes charge, cleaning walls, floors, even ceilings, while Landon's best suit is ruined. She helps not because they're friends, they aren't, but because compassion transcends social boundaries. When Landon drops her home, Jamie thanks him for a good time, leaving him bewildered. This reveals Jamie's goodness isn't performative piety, but genuine care for others. Weeks later, Jamie approaches Landon with tears in her eyes, asking him to replace the nervous lead in her father's Christmas play, not for herself, but because the play reminds Hegbert of Jamie's mother. Landon agrees to star in the play, then immediately regrets it when friends mock him. Jamie publicly thanks him for volunteering, exposing his lie and deepening his humiliation. She offers to help with lines, and when Eric suggests performing for orphans, Landon gets trapped into agreeing. But the night of the play transforms everything. When Jamie appears as the angel, honey-colored hair loose with glitter, catching stage lights, flowing white dress, subtle makeup, the audience gasps. Landon delivers his line, "You're beautiful," with genuine sincerity for the first time, and everyone knows he means it. Watching her embrace her tearful father afterward, Landon feels he's finally done something truly right. This moment marks the beginning of his transformation, not just in how he sees Jamie, but in his own capacity for meaningful contribution. When Jamie reminds him of his promise to make things up to her, she asks him to collect 60 donation containers she's placed around town for the orphanage. Landon winces, remembering how he and his friends used to toss paperclips and slugs into them as a joke. Despite finals and college applications, Landon borrows his mother's car to gather donations. The results are disheartening. $20.32, then $23.89, then $11.52. Knowing Jamie wants something special for the orphans, he secretly adds nearly $190 of his own money. When Jamie counts $247, tears stream down her face. Landon, this is a miracle. For once, lying feels exactly right. On Christmas Eve at the orphanage, Landon sits beside Jamie holding a sleeping child. In the glow of Christmas lights, he realizes she's the prettiest person he's ever seen. He gives her a simple brown sweater. She gives him her beloved Bible, its leather worn from constant use. As Silent Night plays softly, Jamie thanks him for making it the best Christmas I've ever had. Landon suddenly realizes he's fallen in love. After their first kiss at Iron Steamer Pier, Jamie confesses he's the first boy she's ever kissed. On New Year's Eve at Flauven's restaurant, they dance alone while others watch with wistful smiles. Landon knows this is the most perfect moment of his life. Jamie challenges Landon about his questionable business dealings, shaping his emerging values. On Valentine's Day, she shares a passage from Corinthians about love endurance that she wanted read at her wedding. Days later, watching the sunset over the Atlantic, Landon tells her the beauty before them represents exactly how he feels about her. Then everything shatters. Jamie reveals she has leukemia, a rare form that doesn't respond to treatment. She's known since summer and has maybe a year left. Suddenly, everything makes sense. The play, no college plans, giving him her Bible. She hadn't told anyone because she didn't want pity. As Jamie's condition deteriorates, Landon's mother forces his father to return from Washington, insisting he help despite the decades-long feud with Hegbert. Soon, Jamie is home surrounded by medical equipment and nurses. That night, Landon cries on his father's shoulder for the first time in his life. Unable to cure her illness, Landon proposes, not from pity, but because Jamie has transformed him, teaching him about helping others, forgiveness, and life's true meaning. On March 12, 1959, over 200 guests fill the Baptist church. Despite her weakness, Jamie walks down the aisle with her father's support, pausing halfway in the most difficult walk anyone ever had to make. Hegbert speaks from his heart. I can no more give Jamie away than I can give away my heart. After exchanging vows, Landon kisses his bride in what he remembers as the most wonderful moment of his life. 40 years later, still wearing his wedding ring, Landon walks Beaufort streets knowing Jamie's love shaped everything he became. The greatest miracle wasn't physical healing. It was the transformation of a self-centered teenager into a man capable of profound love.